still struggling a little bit, a little tickle in my throat. I try to cough, and it's taken forever to completely get over this thing, man, I'm telling you. I appreciate the opportunity once again open up the pages of this blessed book. Open your Bible tonight, 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Sometimes the Lord gives me a title for a message. Most of the time I just get up and preach. But the title of this tonight is A Recipe for Revival. A Recipe for Revival. 2 Kings chapter number 18. And look in verse number 1. I'll read verse 1 down through verse number 6 and bring the message the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel. Now, you know, you've heard this over and over again from Pastor, Brother Tony. It'll mention two kings. It'll mention a king of Israel, which was over the 10 northern tribes in the north. And then it'll mention a king of Judah that was over the two southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And look at verse number 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now, look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Something that Hezekiah done that brought revival to Judah that lasted over 20 years. He done something that no king before him had previously done. Verse number 4. He removed the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan, the very thing that Moses was told of the Lord to use. You remember when the fiery serpents came into the camp and it bit the people and they were dying? And the Lord told Moses to fashion a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and go into the midst of the camp. All they had to do was look, just look to it and live. Well, they took that thing later and they made an idol out of it. And they began to worship it. And so look at this. They burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan, which simply means a thing of brass or a brazen serpent. Verse number 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. My Father, as I bow in your presence tonight, I need you to touch me physically. Lord, I need for you to dry me up so I can preach. I pray you touch me. You've laid this message upon me. I've wrestled with it. You've convicted me over it, and you've instructed me in it. Now I pray you'd hold back the force of hell, and I pray you'd give me the liberty and the unction and the anointing to preach it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I had Brother Ed Ballou come to the church where I pastored many years ago, and I had Brother Ed there for Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I told him before he got there, I said, I want to make some time for me and you, because he would get bombarded with people and everywhere he went. And I said, I want to make some time for me and you. There's something on my heart I want to talk to you about. And so after the service, I went to Brother Ballou, and I told him, I said, Brother Ed, I said, I feel like the Lord is leaning on me and giving me a burden to go into evangelism. To be an evangelist and not to pastor a church. Now, if you knew Brother Ed Ballou, you'll understand this. He would look down over them glasses like that right there at me. And he just looked at me and he said, so you think that living out of a suitcase, being away from your family and not watching your son grow up, not getting enough love offering to have gas to get back home, you think that's easier than pastoring a church? And I said, well, I never much thought about it that way. But he said, son, let me tell you something. If it's something really the Lord's laid on your heart, he's not going to remove it. And the only way you're going to know is jump in the water. He said, but it's a very lonely life. And you better make sure before you get involved in it that that's what the Lord wants you to do. But he said this. He said, but if you're dead set on doing that, he said, and this is Brother Ed, he said, Brother Mike, I think you're crazy. I think you're a nut. You're doing what you need to be doing. But if you're dead set on doing that, he said, I'll make some phone calls to some pastors, and I'll get you some open doors for meetings. And I said, Brother Blue, I would appreciate that. Before I ever had that conversation with Brother Ed, when I felt that call to hold revivals, man, I read every book I could get a hold of on revivals. I wanted to find a recipe, man. I wanted to find, what it would take, because I'd had enough billboard revivals. My goodness, man. I'd tried to have revivals at the church where I pastored. And you'd have a series of a couple of decent meetings, but no revival. No lasting revival. And so, man, I got my hands on everything I could get a hold of. I read about the Great Awakening in the 18th century. I read what happened there and how the people was awakened to their spiritual need and how a revival swept through. I read stories about Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, Wesley, Davenport. I read that, and I tried to take that in, man, because I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, I want to do it right. If you want me to preach and hold revivals, you open the doors, give me the unction to do it, but give me a recipe that'll work. That's honest, isn't it? Isn't that an honest request to the Lord? Shake your little head, because it is. That's an honest request. I wanted to do the best if that's what he was calling me to do. Well, I read everything I could get a hold of. I read book after book after book after book, and finally I quit and I buried my head in the book. Amen? And I started reading through my Bible again. And I said, Lord, before I start this venture, make a fool out of myself, give me what I need. What does it take to have revival? What does it take? Because I'd only seen maybe one or two in my lifetime. How many say amen to that? Yeah, I mean, it's a revivals is something that you plan and you put out flyers, you put up a billboard. But I've seen two. I've seen two real lasting revivals, and in both situations, both revivals started with the young people. That's right. Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, because we're dried up and dead, and the Lord, he knows he ain't going to get much out of us. But he would ignite a group of young people. And from that, I've seen two different times, I've seen a church-wide revival. Man, people coming to the altar, getting born again and rededicating their life. I saw young people on fire for the Lord. And the Lord gave me this recipe that Hezekiah used. My, there was a revival under Hezekiah that lasted over 20 years. And you say, well, how did he do it? He removed the high places. Yeah. Brother Barry, you're not telling me nothing. Well, I mean, what's that mean? What are you talking about? He removed the high places. What's the high places? It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 20 with Noah. When the ark landed on Ararat, first thing Noah done, he got out on the highest mountain peak there was, and he built an altar to the Lord. And he began to worship and sacrifice to the Lord on a high place. And you can follow that thing down through 1st and 2nd Kings. They would go to the highest mountaintop. And there they would build an altar. There they would sacrifice to the Lord. And it was a place of worship. And it's referred to in the Bible as the high places. And that was all well and good to use the high places for a certain time. And you'll find out Solomon, I'm going to read this for you. Solomon, when he began his reign as king, he started out his reign as king by sacrificing on a high place. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse number 3. You don't have to turn it. I'm going to read it to you. It says, so Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. He didn't do anything wrong. He went to the high place at Gibeon. It was called, it means high city. It overlooked the roads coming into Jerusalem. And that's where they sacrificed and worshiped the Lord. But it was forbidden once the temple was completed. Once Solomon built the house of the Lord, all of the sacrifices was to take place at the house of the Lord. And the high places were to be evacuated and never used again. Because now the sacrifice to the Lord took place at the temple. And so even though Judah, they wasn't using them. You remember what Solomon done? You remember what he done? He married many strange women. What, 700 wives, 300 concubines? And he married women of the Moabites, the Zidonians, Egyptians, and he let all of his wives come into the land of Israel. And they used those high places that were once used to sacrifice to the Lord. He allowed them to use those high places to sacrifice to their pagan gods and goddesses. And so they used those high places to sacrifice to their idols and their pagans. And of course, after a while, they drew some of Judah with them, invited them to their pagan worship services. And before you know it, the land was full of the high places being used again for the wrong reason. Said he tore down the groves too. The groves was something that goes back to the Zidonians. It's associated with Asherah. It's associated with the fertility. It's associated with the Sodomites. It's associated with sexual perversion. And he destroyed the groves. The groves were supposed to have been destroyed after the giving of the law. And the high places were supposed to have been done away with and never used again after the temple was finished. Because then all of the sacrifices to the Lord was to be at the house of God, at the temple. But yet, the high places remained. You remember the message about the line of the tribe of Judah and the cubs that came up through the line of the tribe of Judah. I told you they were 7 good ones, 13 bad ones. Remember that? Well, when you read through this thing and you get to Hezekiah, he's the only one. He's the only one. When you go through it, Asa, number 3, he was a good king. He done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He led the people in the ways of the Lord. But your Bible will specifically say, yet the high places remained. And then you come down to the next one, number 4, Jehoshaphat. He was one of the 7 good ones. And the Bible said he done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He led Judah in the right way. But it specifically says, yet the high places remained. You say, well, if they're not using them, well, that's the problem. They were using them. The pagans were using them. And they drew some of Judah in with them. So now they're used as pagan worship grounds. And then you had Amaziah, number 9. He was a good one, good cub, done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But the Bible said, yet the high places remained. No revival. Number 11 was Jotham. He was a good king. He done that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But it said, yet the high places remained. No revival. Then Hezekiah, number 13. Thought you said he was a good one. Oh, one of the best. Bible said there was none before him, none after him. Yeah. Why was he number 13? Because he's getting ready to bring revival by bashing the rebellion. 13 is a number of rebellion. And we're in chapter 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6. Hezekiah comes in. 25 years old, man. I told you when revival comes, it usually comes through young people, didn't it? He comes in and said, all right, here's how we're going to get this thing started. We're going to have revival. Yeah, all right. We've heard that before, Hezekiah. Yeah, we've heard that song and dance before. And verse number 4, the first thing Hezekiah done, he removed the high places. Did you hear that? He removed them. He destroyed them. You know what he was saying to the people? Hey, here's the way it's going to be. It's God or it's nothing. I'm going to leave you nothing to go back to. Amen. It's the Lord or it's nothing. You're going to quit running back to your high places when things don't go good. When you feel like God's let you down. It's going to be this way. It's the Lord or nothing. I'm burning all the bridges. Oh, no. He's going to remove. Not that I was ever going to use them, Hezekiah. Yeah, right. But he removed the high places. And in doing so, it brought a revival. You know why? Because he left them nothing to go back to. If this Lord thing doesn't work out, you ain't got anything to go back to. Man, I burn all your bridges. I removed your high places. Here's how it works, and you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm reading our mail. We'll live for the Lord. We'll dedicate our life to the Lord. We'll come to church. We'll be faithful. Until we feel like the Lord's messed up. Now understand something. The Lord doesn't mess up. The judge of the whole earth will do right. But when he doesn't do what we feel like he should have done, and we get offended in him, like he's told his disciples. He said, you will be offended in me this night. Peter said, No. These pansies might, but not me. Lord, I'll never be offended in you. And Peter was offended in the Lord and denied him 3 times. This is human nature. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love Jesus. But then everything seems to go south in your life. And you can't make heads or tails of it. And you feel like God's messed up. You know the first thing we do? Listen to me. We run right back to our high place. Right back to the places we had once forsaken. We go back to them because we never burnt that bridge. We never tore them down. I'm thinking of a friend when I was getting this message together. Man, I watched him. You're talking about a roller coaster Christian. He'd come to the church, do good for a while, and I'd tell my wife, I said, well, he's back. He'll be in the choir. He'll do good for a while, and then he'll be gone. And that's exactly how he lived his life. And I'd run into him and say, man, I've been missing you. What's going on? Let me tell you something, preacher. Every time I get right with the Lord, something bad happens. I blowed the motor in my truck. I got a layoff slip. And I said, oh, so that's God's fault. That's God's fault. If you heard about life, life happens, man, to the just and the unjust. Listen, he owes us nothing. He gave everything he had. He kept me out of hell. He owes me nothing. Nothing. But he would go right back to those beggarly elements. He would go right back to the sin that so easily beset him. Let me give you this illustration. I got sick and tired of being a roller coaster Christian. Anybody ever been there? Most time you pass it off, well, I try to live for the Lord, I just can't do it. Man, if I had a quarter every time I heard that, I'd go pay Shannon's car off tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, what a cop out. I tried, preacher, and just I just couldn't do it. Well, I got sick and tired of my life. And I got sick and tired of being a roller coaster Christian. Hot, cold, lukewarm. And man, I started literally when I seeking the face of God. I mean, laying in a dark place and crying out to the Lord, help me. And so, first thing I done is, when I realized I'd never taken a Nazarite vow, I cut my hair. Now, if you're a man, you got long hair, that's your business. Okay? But I would blow it off because a friend of mine said, you know, a picture of Jesus? Nobody's got a picture of Jesus. No. There's no photographs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one in my heart, but there's not one that you can show people. And he pulled out this thing. He was one of my running buddies. And he said, dude, man, I mean, we're cool with this long hair because, look, man, Jesus had long hair. I thought, wow. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah, you bunch of clowns. I hope you don't swallow. Look at some artist rendition, some Italian drunk that painted a picture of Jesus and think, that's the Son of God? No, you'll find a description of him in the Song of Solomon. He had short, raven black hair and eyes like a... Listen, would he say, is it not a shame for a man to wear long hair and then he wear long hair? Right. I'm not up here preaching on long hair. I'm talking about me. Me. So don't get offended. I'm talking about me. The first thing I done is I cut my hair. I did, man. And I cleaned out my wardrobe. I had to get rid of some clothes. I had to get rid of some t-shirts. I had to throw some hats away that I couldn't wear anymore. And I really got serious with the Lord. Man, I tell you, I wanted God on my life. And so I done some house cleaning. I got all the Bud Stupid out of the refrigerator. He says, Bud Wiser. No, he's nothing wise about it. So I cleaned all the Bud Stupid out of there. And Brother Roger, you'll understand this. I got rid of my token pipes. Got rid of them, man. Did you ever see them that I handmade? It's just, See, that's how I spent my time in high school. In woodworking shop, my teacher would come around and say, well, Barry, what are you making today on the lathe, pipe? Well, son, you're too young to smoke a pipe from a pipe all. Yeah. And we'd hand make those things, pack them full of reefer, and get our brains blowed out. Man, I had some handmade ones that I made. I mean, they was pretty. Had a garbage can sitting there. I done got back from the barber shop, and here was clothes, man. Clothes, shoes, hats, t-shirts, and my token pipes. Get your head up. Ain't time to pray yet. All of my rolling papers, gone. Hey, Brother Tony, I was on my way to a personal revival. Because I was one by one tearing down my high places. And everything was going good. Till I got to a little tote stuck in the back of my closet. I knew what was in there. And I pulled it out. And I started looking through it. Started reasoning with the Lord. I said, Lord, I got a lot of money invested in this music. I mean, this music wasn't... I mean, I've got a lot of music in this, you know. I'm not going to listen to it no more, Lord. Now, I'm not going to touch this stuff no more. And I'm not going to fill my head with them lyrics. Because I know it breeds nothing but rebellion. But, Lord, I can't throw them away. What if I throw it away and somebody else finds it and it causes them to fall? You ever reason with the Lord like that and he's just looking at you saying, you little idiot. You stupid fool. You're talking to the Almighty. Don't try to pull something over on me. Burn it! Burn it! If that's your high place that you run back to every time you think I've messed up, burn it! You remember we built a fire and we tried to burn DOA by blood rock. You remember that? I wouldn't say this if he wasn't sitting there to back me up. We throw that thing in a fire, man, and it sound like a demon. It sounded like a snake hissing. It petrified me and Roger and Robbie. My goodness, we couldn't get that fire put out quick enough. You could hear the demon screaming. I don't believe it. Well, I don't care. Care whether you believe it or not. God knows I'm telling you the truth tonight. I said, Lord, okay. This stuff costs a lot of money. Now, Lord, look, I want to sell out. I'm trying to sell out. I want to give my life to you. And I want, look, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to that garbage no more. I'm not going to fill my head with that stuff. I know it breeds rebellion. You say, my music don't. Oh, give me a break, man. You may convince your parents of that. Don't bring that around me. I know what's in it. Yeah, there's demons attached to that stuff, buddy. You want to have a spiritual experience outside of the Lord? I'll tell you how to have one. Amen. Just hang with me a minute. I shoved that stuff back in the corner. My cousin was one of the best musicians I've ever known in my life. He traveled around and played with some pretty good-sized bands. And I spent a summer with Earl, and I said, hey, teach me, man, how to... And I gave him some songs that I listened to all the time. I said, teach me that riff, buddy. I want to learn that. I want to learn it. And I did. And here's what would happen. Lord, I'm sold out. I'm yours, Lord. I really am. I mean it this time. I'm going to go all the way with you. And then get bad news. Everything fall apart. Repossessed the car, out of work. And in my eyes, the Lord messed up. He let me down. And since I hadn't burned all of my bridges, right back I would go. And I would pull that thing out, man. And I start getting music out. Not just get it out, I would stick it in my truck and go down the interstate wide open, man, where the windows would vibrate, and it would just take me away. I'd go down in the basement, and Brother Phil, I'd turn that fender up. That's why I won't touch one of those things now. I'll never pick another one up. I'll never touch another one. Whew. Thank you, Lord. But I'd go down there, and I'd turn that thing up, man, to where it vibrates the windows, and I'd stick one of them songs in. Earl would have taught me the riff. Man, I'd sit down there in the darkness and just just beat that thing, man, until it's almost like an evil, wicked spirit takes over. It starts to fill your body up, buddy. There's a spirit attached to it. And you just get lost in it. Just lost in it, man. Just fill you up and play it as loud as I could play it. And what it is, that's the human nature saying, I'll show you, Lord. I tried to live for you. I tried to sell out. You're the one that jerked the rug out from under me. You're the one that allowed all this stuff to come into my life. Hey, you like this? Well, Lord. Yeah. I've never been that way. Then pray for me. That was my high place. You got one. You got one. It's none of my business what yours is. I just told you what mine was. You say, well, it's not so bad. Well, yeah, it's bad because it breeds nothing but rebellion. And that's all it'll ever breed. But I run right back. I run right my precious little wife. I can see her. She's listening. Nobody knows your life better than your family does. If you're a hypocrite, your family knows it. Amen, preacher. If you're a preacher and you're a hypocrite, your family knows it. They know it. You're not fooling your family. No. And I can remember running back to my high place, man. having that thing cranked up to where the neighbors would start to call and see my little wife standing in the steps coming down from upstairs, just looking at me with tears in her eyes, shaking her head, saying, "Don't go back. Don't go back. Leave it alone." And I would look right at her, man, and I'd hit another riff, boy, and just eat that thing up with the music that was playing. No revival ever come in my life, man. It vacated me. It did. Until something finally happened to me. Something happened. I got such a hunger for the Lord, I wanted Him more than anything in this world. I yearned for Him more than I yearned for the next breath in my lungs. I hungered for Him like I'd never hungered before. And I got on my face and I said, "I'm done. I'm through with my high place, Lord. I'm going to destroy it, get rid of it, where I can never go back to it again." You ever get that serious with the Lord, you better fasten your seatbelt. But see, most of us leave something to go back to just in case this thing don't work out. You know I'm telling you the truth. You get mad at God. No, I don't. Yes, you do. If you say you don't, you're a liar. You get aggravated with the Lord. You do. And what do? After a while, I'll show Him. "I tried, Lord," and you'll run right back to that high place because you never destroyed it. You got it hid away somewhere. Nobody else may not know where it's at or what it is, but you know. Every one of you sitting here, you know what that is. The only way to have a revival, a personal revival in your heart, is to burn all the bridges. That's right. Get to the point where you say, "Lord, I've burned it all. I got rid of all of it. It's gone. It'll never be back. It's got to work this time, Lord, because I ain't got nothing to go back to. I don't have nothing." When we was boys, we played BB gun wars. Just give me about 10 more minutes and I'll let you go. We played BB gun wars, and I don't mean Daisy one pump. Oh man, you can stand here, I can shoot right from here. He wouldn't feel that. I'm talking about, buddy, we had them Crosmans, and if you pumped them up 10 times, they said it hit as hard as a 22. And when we played BB gun wars, you weren't supposed to crank them over 3. That was max, okay? If you caught somebody else, cause buddy, I mean, we wore heavy clothes, and we wore either a motorcycle helmet, if you had one, or a football helmet. Cause you get pinged in the side of the head, buddy, with a BB coming out of one of them Crosmans, I mean, it'll rattle your ancestors. And we would divide up on teams. I mean, we played for keeps. This wasn't baby stuff. Our mamas would have had a heart attack. They would have literally had a heart attack. And we would fill this place up. Some of us had on black helmets, others had on white. That's why you know who your enemy was and who your comrades were. And the secret to that thing was to get across a foot log in this big long stretch of woods and fields and get to the top of this hill and be the first team to put your flag there. But you couldn't put your flag down until everybody on your team was across. Now, see, I believed in the resurrection long before I ever read the Bible, because the way we played, if you got shot, you had to go down. If you got shot in the helmet, you're going down. But if you got shot and you took a hit, you had to go down and you had to lay there like you was dead until one of your team members come by and tagged you. And then you miraculously come back to life until you get hit again. And we made it across. I mean, it was bloody, man. I was bleeding. I'd been shot in the side of the face. One guy ended up in the ER because they had to dig a BB out of the side of his neck. Yeah, it's crazy. Kids, don't you ever do that. That's stupid. Because it's dangerous. And I remember the very last time we done it. We was getting older. The very last time we done that, had a little fella on my team. He was as tall as he was wide. He looked like a bowling ball, man. I played football against him. You ever tried to tackle a bowling ball? And he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know what I'm saying? He was kind of like, which way did they go? But he was strong as a mule. He didn't look strong. I mean, he didn't work out, but he was strong, man. And we wanted him on our team. And we got everybody across, and I got to look around. I'm not going to call his name. Well, we called him Footlog, and you'll find out in a minute why. And I got to look around. I said, man, we just got one more guy. We can stick our flag up. We got this thing. Well, here he come, man, as fast as he could up the hill. And he was laughing. He was carrying the flag. The last man had to have the flag because you couldn't plant it till everybody was across the Footlog on top of that hill. And he was laughing, and he said, plant this flag, man. And I said, how close are they to us? He said, they ain't going to get to us. I said, why? I kicked a Footlog in the creek. I said, you did what? Man, I throwed that Footlog in the creek. They can't get across. Ha! We got this. And I said, that's when we changed his name to Footlog. I said, okay, we've won. How are we going to get back across? Back across. And everybody, yeah. Yeah, Footlog, how are we going to get back across, man? Do you know how many miles it is from here all the way down to the main road where we can come up that cut? Do you have any idea, you idiot? Well, we won, didn't we? He kicked the Footlog in the creek. He burnt the bridges. We could not get back where we came from. That's what Hezekiah said. That's what he said. You want a revival? What's the high place you run back to every time you get mad at God? I don't know what yours is. Mine's burnt now. What'd you replace it with? By the grace of God, I haven't. I just go in and beat Shannon now and get it out that way. I didn't replace the high places that I got rid of. I tore them down. You want to show the Lord you mean business? I told you that I've seen very few revivals, only two. Both of them come through the young people. There's not going to be a revival until you leave nothing to go back to, and only you can do that. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas, he didn't get rid of all these high places, and Paul said, he's forsaken me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Yeah. Got a little too hard on Demas, and what'd he do? He went back to his high place. That's exactly what he done. Peter, you know what Peter said? After following the Lord's Christ for 3.5 years, seen the dead raised and all that, you know what he said in John 21? He said, well, I guess it's over. I'm going fishing. That's right. And they said, hold up, Peter. We'll just go with you. Yeah. Why would he do that? Because he didn't burn all of his bridges. He left an opening just in case this thing don't work out. Right. Preacher was talking about AI being able to read our brain and our mind. I bet he has a field day with mine. But how much more do you think the Holy Spirit of God can read what's in our head? And you may sit here and say, no, preacher, I don't have nothing like that I can go back to. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If you've tore down the high places that you always go back to when it don't work out with the Lord, we'd have a revival breakout that this building couldn't contain. That's the truth. A revival, and I'm coming to a close. Look here. Watch this. Let me show you something. Look. Now, you know once a preacher closes his Bible, he cannot preach anymore. He's done, right? A revival started in Clinton. I'd done that for 4 years. For 4 years, I'd done that. I quit pastoring. And I'd get phone calls from preachers, and they'd say, is this Brother McDonald? Yes, it is. I don't know you. Brother Blue told me to call you. I always do what Brother Ed tells me to do. Yeah. And Brother Blue opened more doors for me than I could fill. And after 4 years, I called Brother Ed on the phone down in Cleveland. I said, Brother Ed? Yes. I said, this ain't for me. And that laugh, you've heard it, Roger. Yeah, okay. I said, quit turning my name in. Don't turn my name in no more. This just, it's not for me. Pastoring's not that bad after all. Amen. I got tired of living out of a suitcase and waking up lonely and looking at four walls of a motel and no revival. Preaching till you feel like your lungs are going to explode and no revival. You know why? Because people don't like the recipe. You get the recipe right, revival will come. But down in Clinton, man, I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. A revival broke out. And it started with the young people. And man, that thing spread like, I mean, it made the newspapers back then. I mean, it spread like wildfire. And all these young people started showing up to this field down there in Clinton. They built a bonfire. Was you there? Are you kidding me? You better know I went. And these young people were coming in with boxes, man. Boxes of music. Boxes of clothes that they couldn't wear anymore. One young man came in with a homemade wooden casket. And I said, son, what's in that thing? He said, my high places. I'm going to burn it. Man, you're talking about a bonfire. And you're talking about a bunch of young people burning the bridges, leaving nothing to go back to. And boy, you're talking about a revival coming. You talking about a revival that hit that place down there. I've never seen nothing like it since or before or after. And it started with young people. You know, we don't have long here. We don't have long. Yeah, we're in the bottom of the ninth, but the base is loaded. You know that, don't you? And a full count. This thing's about over. I don't want to go out dead. I want to go out with a revival spirit in my soul. I want these young people that we got at Temple Baptist Church to see and experience a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. You think the Lord can do it? I know He can do it. What would it take for every one of you right now while I'm speaking as Miss Angie comes to the piano with every head bowed and every eye closed? Don't raise your hand. Don't do anything in the way of response. But right now, you search your heart. And be honest with yourself. And the Lord will tell you what your high places are. He'll tell you the things that you never quite fully forsook. And He'll touch your heart right now with the things that you always go back to when you feel like He's messed up. And you feel like He'd done something that He shouldn't have done, or He let something happen that He should not have flapped, and you run right back to it. If you come to this altar tonight, between you and the Lord, you don't have to tell a soul in what your high place is. It's none of their business. I had to tell you mine to preach this message. And you come up here and honestly said, Lord, it's your nothing. This thing's about over with. I'm about to leave here. It's you or nothing. I want to burn all the bridges. I want to tear down all of my high places. I don't want to leave me anything to go back to. Lord, it's you 100% or it's nothing. If you come up here, and if the Lord's not, if the Holy Spirit of God is not dealing with you, don't waste your time coming up here. But the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you'd like to see a personal, real revival. It starts by removing the high places, and only you can remove yours. The Lord's not going to rip them out of your hand. You freely give them up and leave nothing to go back to. My Father, I thank You tonight. You touched me physically. You helped me. I felt Your presence. You gave me the anointing to deliver my soul tonight. Lord, You know my heart. Only You know how hard I fought You over my high places. I fought You time and time and time again. Until that night that I'll never forget, where I threw up the surrender flag. And
and I burned them. I got rid of them, never to go back to them again. And a revival came into my soul, Lord. I don't feel that same revival fire that was once there. So whatever I need to do, anything I need to turn loose of, Lord, you put your finger on it and it's yours. Because, Lord, it's you or it's absolutely nothing. I want to kick the foot log in the creek, leave no way to get back across. You're my only hope. You're my only salvation, my only Savior. If I fall, it's because you let me fall. Lord, please, I pray you speak to the hearts of the people. Lord, let them be honest with themselves. Let them be honest. My Father, as my sister plays softly, just let them be honest with themselves. Just let them be honest with themselves, Lord. Do they want you? Do they want you enough to bring their high place up here and leave it? Do they want you enough, Lord, to forsake all? Lord, it's so much easier living for you when you leave nothing to go back to. Are you speaking to anybody's heart tonight, my Father? I'm not going to tug and pull at folks. That's not my job. I'm just a messenger. I've just done what you laid on my heart to do. I can't make folks move. It wouldn't mean nothing if I did. Only the Holy Spirit, the drawing power of the Holy Ghost, can speak to a man's heart and bring conviction. I pray, Lord, tonight, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I want to see us have revival. I want to see these young folks get on fire for you. Oh, my Father, I long to see that, Lord. I long to see that. I long to see that before you come and get us. I ask it in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you for what you've done for me. Honest with the Lord tonight. You don't have to be honest with me. I'm just a man. I'm nothing. But I was honest with you. Not proud of what my strongest high place was. Not proud of it at all. It bred so much rebellion in my soul, man, I'm telling you. And I knew it was doing it, and I was loving it. Because at the time, that's what I wanted. But when I tore them all down, you think it's hard? You think it's too hard to give them up? Oh, I wish you knew. I wish you knew what a blessed thing it is to lay them right here and walk away from them with your hands in the air saying, Lord, there they are. It's you or it's nothing. I just kicked the foot log in the creek. I got no way to get back across. Thank you for your kind attention and the liberty that the Lord afforded me to preach.